My name is Lexi Cuddy. I like to race a lot with all my friends, and I ride a PW50, and I love to race. 5 years old.
Where do you live?
Canada.
Coming Up Next Time podcast is made possible with help from our friends at Bow Valley DJ, Yeti Mechanical Systems, as well as Built to Ride. If you enjoy this podcast, one of the best ways you can help out is to share it with a friend. Share links to your favorite episodes on your socials. If you wish to contribute directly, head over to www.comingupnexttime.com and become a patron. All funds raised will go towards our giveaways, as well as they help out local clubs through our sponsorship program. Coming Up Next Time is a proud sponsor of the Rocky Mountain Dirt Riders Association. Since 2004, Rocky Mountain Dirt Riders Association has been working to take care of our local Alberta trail systems. Whether you're an experienced rider or new to the sport, the RMDRA welcomes you. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Barrymore. My next guest is a local legend. She began her career producing small videos and posting them on YouTube, offering tips and advice for people looking to get into riding. It wasn't long after she got into Instagram that her star began to rise. Now, she hosts clinics around North America and still shares her adventures with us. She recently launched a website dedicated to helping riders, and I have to admit I wanted to have this interview happen ever since the start of the podcast. For me, I feel it was worth the wait. Coming up next, this is Meg Spratt. A little less serious, I guess. I'm just going to ask an oddball question. You've been out there a lot, and you are a character, right? Not Meg Spratt's character, but you have a lot of personality. And when you have your like tutu and you're goofing off on the bike and stuff, you must get a lot of people showing up to clinics and things emulating that version of yourself. Has there been anyone who's like made a really good Meg Spratt impression for you? Like probably a little kid.
I don't recall anyone specifically. I do get people in my clinics, and it's always the young kids where I'm like, oh, that could be like the next Meg Spratt, because they're so, what's the word? Like, so dedicated and excited about the sport, I guess. And like, I'll have kids that are like 12 years old, and they can't wait to. Sorry, that's my dog.
It's okay.
They can't wait to hit the big log, and I'm like, okay, no. Like, we got to work our way up to that. We have a 6-hour clinic, and we're doing that at the end, and all day, all you can see is them looking at the log, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I get grown adults who are like that too, but
yeah,
it's usually the younger kids who are like, give me the biggest log right away.
That's awesome.
And it kind of makes me think, like, you know, that could be someone who's super passionate about the sport. Maybe they'll turn out like me and want to share it. Who knows?
I guess I've been thinking about, like, since we started talking, how influencer is the wrong word to describe you. Like, you're more of an ambassador, right? Like, so I guess that's what we need, is other ambassadors, younger ambassadors, I guess, to keep it moving forward, like to perpetuate the sport. Otherwise, based on what I can see, it's kind of like doomed, you know? No, everybody's on electric bikes, and they're going to be on like private land is the future, I feel, if we don't continue to support the off-road, outdoor, crownland version.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. And the more families we get into it, the better off we are, you know? Like, mountain biking's solid because, you know, kids and wives, sisters, moms, everyone does mountain biking. And I know it's the same in dirt biking, but not to the extent. The more of us there are, the more power we have to keep it going, and especially riding for fun versus racing. I mean, racing is awesome. I believe it's the best way to elevate your skills, and it's just an amazing way to push your mind and body and just become better. But, you know, the fun riding, the trail riding, that side of things is also important. Those are the people who are going to want to keep those public riding areas open, right?
Yeah.
That stuff's really important.
I agree. Like they're the future. So do you find like, I'm going to skip to something else now. So your clinics, right? Your riding clinics. How do you feel the classes, like the group as they arrive versus how they leave? Like, what do you feel like the energy, the compare and contrast from arrival to departure? Like, how do you see it versus how they see it, I guess?
So when everyone first arrives to the clinic, it's the same every time. Everyone's really nervous, really quiet. You know, you can tell that everyone's thinking, oh my God, I hope I'm not the worst. And I hate that. And as soon as we get started, I keep the vibe super chill. I'm like, you know, it's all about having fun and elevating our skills. It's not about who's getting what down faster, you know? And so we go through the day, and my clinics are based on progressive learning. So each skill we learn is a building block for the next, and we start with the real basics. So everyone gets the basics down and starts to get that confidence. And then, you know, we stack the blocks, and by the end of the day, we're going over a small, medium, and a large log with very specific techniques.
Yep.
And I see everyone suddenly more confident with their riding, but also just in general, like not really afraid of what other people are thinking and just giving it a try right in front of the group with no hesitation. And that's the best feeling, like seeing people come out of their shell and have fun rather than being super tense and nervous and not really having fun, kind of more so just scared and nervous about looking stupid in front of the group.
That's fair. So is that what motivates you, like the carrot at the end, seeing everybody with the confidence?
Yep, the confidence. And I just love to see when people start putting the skills together, like going back to the progressive learning, how each skill kind of meshes with the next, and seeing everyone putting it together and then coming out of the clinic a better rider. It's really rewarding, and it's just a ton of fun. I love giving people the tools to elevate their skills.
Nice. So have you experienced any like failures at a clinic where it just sort of, regardless of how you try to get it across, just like, you know, no one's picking up what you're putting down kind of thing? Like, you ever had like that kind of, we'll just say like a bad start. And if so, like, how do you get them, bridge that gap, I guess. Like, I DJ, so sometimes I start off with a party, it doesn't work out, I figure it out, then it goes, like, so that everybody stays positive and hopeful.
Yep. So I've definitely had groups that don't seem to jive well with each other and who are really nervous, and no one's, you know, when I say, does anyone have any questions? Everyone's dead silent and it's crickets and no one's saying a word. And I usually, in that scenario, I'll just power through. I'll bust out a drill that requires interaction and with people partnering up and stuff like that, and just kind of break that awkwardness. And usually, like 9 times out of 10, by lunchtime, everyone's having a good time. Every once in a while, I'll get one person who comes to the clinic with the attitude of like, what am I going to learn? Like, what could she possibly teach me? And those are the worst. I hate when people have that attitude, because it's like, if you're closed-minded, you're not going to learn. And I can safely say I've never had that kind of person leave at the end of the day with that same attitude.
That's sweet.
They usually a tune halfway through, and it's usually when I'll humble them with like the full out figure eight drill, and it's like, oh, you can't do a full out figure eight? Well, you've got a lot to learn, man. Like most people can't do one, and that's okay. But right once they get humbled, they open their mind a little bit, and things go better.
What is your favorite drill to teach, I guess, then?
Man, that's hard.
Sorry.
I like the small practical wheelie. I love teaching the wheelie drill because wheelies open doors for people. Once you can consistently get that wheel off the ground, you can ride much more difficult terrain.
Yeah.
That one's really fun and has, like, big light bulb moments for people. And then I like the figure eight because that's always the one that humbles people right in the morning, and gets people realizing that there's so much to learn in this sport. Like, that a lot of my drills are based on trials techniques, okay, and the full off figure eight is one of those drills. And it's like, trials riders are the best riders in the world, and like, there's just an unlimited amount of skills and techniques and body positions and things to learn that will totally transfer into our enduro riding. So that techie stuff, I really like to teach that stuff too.
That's fair. Yeah, I noticed that a lot of the hardest things to do are slow. And everybody totally just thinks, yeah, yep, lots of throttle, lots of success, and not always the case. Like, it's the slow stuff. Go slow to go fast.
Yeah, 100%.
So, out of all this, like what's your dream to get out of this experience of being Meg's Brap?
Oh, that's a big question.
Sorry.
you mean kind of like my end goal?
Yeah, sure. Like whatever, like a dream takeaway or anything like that. I mean, cause I'm sure you're going to roll into the next thing, whatever that happens to be, cause the horizon's always getting closer. So yeah, just out of this version, like whatever is happening right now, what do you hope to get out of this?
So, I mean, my goal right now is to create a platform where I can help people with their riding, not just in person at my clinics, but online. And that's what my website's all about. Because I've been stretching myself pretty thin with these tours, although I love it, it's an amazing experience, but it's not something that I can maintain until I'm 70 years old, you know, traveling the country. So I just want to be able to reach a lot of people and help people gain confidence and get into this sport and, you know, learn skills that'll make them feel safer and more confident on the bike. And with the website, I'm going to be able to reach more people and do that, you know, without wearing myself out so much, I guess.
Yeah. So tell me about the website. Like, for those who don't know about it, just give me like the elevator pitch or whatnot.
Okay. So basically the website is just a place where you can go. It is a membership based thing. So like, you know, some podcasters have a Patreon or like a page where people can go for extra content.
Yep. Paywalls.
It's like that. It's $6 a month. Anyways, people can go there, and then there's the option for communicating in the DMs, and, you know, someone can message me and say, hey, you know, I'm having trouble with my wheelies. I'm really having trouble with it. Can you help me? They send me footage. I go through the footage. I break it down. I tell them what they need to do. And then, you know, we go back and forth like that. And there's the option for custom videos, custom training videos, and all that sort of stuff. So basically clinics, little mini versions of clinics for people, but online, so they can take that and practice it at home. And I don't have to physically be there.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Like, sort of like a personalized YouTube experience, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there is more than just this, like, there's a feed. So you don't have to go in and message me on the site and ask for specific stuff. There's also a feed where people send in their videos, and I'll watch the video and review it and give feedback. And so those videos are in the main feed for anyone to see.
Oh, that's really good.
So there's lots of good info. There's some bundles and packages people can purchase. Like there's a beginner bundle on there with, you know, 5 videos to help a beginner rider get started, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's really good. Like, and then is there like any community thing where like, I don't know, members and stuff can communicate, chat, share with each other, help each other or motivate each other?
So I don't have something specifically for that on the website right now, but there is like the ability to comment and like comment publicly to the other members and stuff like that under the videos and the posts. But that's it for that so far.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, it's just an idea or whatever, something you could add in the future, and then it could be community driven and maybe a little less pressure for you because there's going to be somebody who can answer all the questions or whatever. Like in every forum group, there's always that one person who just knows it all. They probably don't do anything, but they can write the story well enough that everybody goes out into the world and does it. And they're like, thanks, man. So,
yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, like I know, like I've taken up a bunch of your time. Is there anything that we haven't talked about? Like, I feel like we've gotten through a ton of stuff. Oh, I do have one thing I'm going to ask about. So as a BC Alberta resident, where were your favorite places to ride?
Ooh, that's a good one. So my all-time favorite place in BC is probably, I got two. So we got the classic McNutt. I'm sure you've ridden there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love McNutt just because it's so special and so different from everything else. And I mean, there's some stuff there that's pretty gnarly. Every time I go ride McNutt, I leave humbled. I'm always like, oh, I'm a much better rider this time. It's going to be easy. And then we'll go ride like one of the double reds or something. And I'm super humbled and like, wow, I do still suck. So I really like that. And then my home riding area, also in BC, is called Bear Creek in Kelowna.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I learned to ride. And it's just, it's got a special place in my heart. I mean, it's endless mountain single track, too. Like, the trails are just excellent. And I'll always love Bear Creek.
Nice. Yeah. I like BC versus Alberta. I guess the trail signage is much better in BC.
I haven't ridden much in Alberta. I don't even think I've really ridden any of the, you know what I have? I've ridden some single track in the mountains one time, but I don't even remember what the riding area was called.
Oh, that's all right. You should definitely come check it out. Like McLean Creek, Wypress Fallen Timber area. Like, and there's some up, like Northern Alberta. There's so much variety here.
Definitely. I've heard of the McLean Creek area a bunch and have been meaning to do some riding out there. I'm hoping maybe this year when I go on tour, I might be doing some clinics out there.
Oh, nice.
So maybe I can take time to hit up some of the local riding areas.
Yeah, I'd say like bang for your buck, McLean Creek would be a good spot to host a clinic just because it's easy access for everybody. There's plenty of parking. Like it's super, doesn't require a lot of like local knowledge to find the spot to start, if that makes sense. Whereas like out in Wypress and things, you got to use GPS coordinates to get everybody to the right spot. I mean, those who know, but I mean, a clinic, you're going to expect some people who have never been out, you know, so they wouldn't know. And then it might be hard. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. But there's like tons and tons of great spots. Like, I don't know. It's enough to ride the rest of your life out here. So,
Oh yeah, I can.
Oh, and There's a women's clinic in Revy. Have you ever been to that? I'm trying to remember the name of it for the life of me.
Oh, the Triple B.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. So I haven't been to that. I meant to go, but I was always in like a different state when they had it going. But the group that I've been working with, Trash and E-Rag, they went last year, I think. And I think they even did some clinics there. And they said it was epic. I've been meaning to get to that.
Yeah, it's one of the, I'm hoping to go take part. I thought it was a women's only event kind of thing. But I guess speaking with one of the people from the group, they just basically, if you can have a dick, just don't be a dick. That's sort of the rule. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to take my wife and let her go like crazy without me, I guess. Like, I don't know. I just feel like women riding groups, just they're massive now. Like, just it's incredible.
Definitely.
Okay. And you travel the States. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say there's a cool, I don't know if you've heard of Trail Bound Ladies.
Yes.
But they put on like their a women's only event in Idaho last year. And the vibe was awesome. Everyone was out in the gnarly single track. It was just really, really fun. And I got to take up like a private group of six ladies out. And it turned into this thing where, you know, we're way up on the top of the mountain on one of the hardest trails. And it's like, we can't go back the way we came because we're not going to have enough, you know, energy and like fuel. And it turned into this big adventure. And it was just really cool. Like, tons of fun.
So of all the places, like you've explored North America now, where's your favorite place to ride in the U.S.? Like I see you post Arizona and Utah and all that kind of stuff. Texas.
Yep.
Like, obviously these are all hot, dry places, but where do you love to ride the most?
So my favorite place to ride and be is probably in the Phoenix, Arizona area, just because there's such a wide variety of terrain. Like you've got your classic desert terrain. You've got big boulder canyons. You've got all sorts of even wooded mountain single tracks. And just the weather here is excellent at this time of year. So there's that. And then Utah in St. George is also right up there. Like I can't remember the name of the riding area. I'm so bad for that. But it was just like these giant orange sand dunes. And right there within the same area is like classic Utah slick rock too. Like, so all that cool stuff you always see people riding on YouTube is right there in that same riding area. And I just thought it was absolutely amazing. Like, just super cool. And then there's one more place that comes to mind, and that's in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So it's like the complete other end of the spectrum. Like out in PA, the terrain is slipperier than you can even imagine. Like you think rocks are slippery in DC when it's rainy, and then you go to PA and you're like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. It's because of the humidity, the rocks sweat, and everything's just so slippery, and it's so challenging and just amazing.
Okay. So for bike setup, because we never really talked about that. When it comes to tires, what do you like to ride? Like gummy tires or regular enduro tires, hard tires? Or is it just like now that you're going everywhere, it's sort of like depending on the area?
So I don't really change my tire setup depending on the area, just because I don't have the time and energy to swap tires unless my tires are wrecked.
Yeah.
I run the same setup all the time, and that's akin to Ibex usually, or akin to Gnarly, and they're both gummy tires. Being a light rider, traction is probably my biggest struggle.
Okay.
The bike barely knows I'm on it, and it's really hard to get traction in gnarly terrain. So the gummy tire is, hugely helpful there. And then I'll run a tubeless with part of a moose in there as well, and I run like zero PSI, so I'm getting ultimate traction.
Okay.
Now, if I have time or the means, I'll put air in it if I'm going to be riding fast desert stuff. Like, I wouldn't choose to ride a flat zero PSI setup in the desert, but I'll just put 6 PSI in my tubeless or 5 PSI and go.
Okay. And and you're on a new bike now, right? Like the GX or something? That's your newest ride? Every now and then I see.
I have a bunch of bikes. The GPX is a new addition to the mini fleet, I guess. And I'm super impressed with it so far. I've been spending most of my time on it just because I've wanted to put hours on it and start to find its flaws and see where I can make it better and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Today I taught a group clinic. I spent some time on my TE. I have a TPI 300. So I'm kind of on different bikes all the time, but the GPX is super intriguing to me because its price point is so much lower than the rest. But so far, knock on wood, but so far it's been the best bike I've had.
Oh,
because
wow.
of it, the way it handles. Like, I can't even say enough about the handling of that bike. I feel like I'm on a Honda, if that makes sense.
Yep.
The Honda's just handled so well. It feels like that, but it's got this beautiful, luggable 300cc two-stroke motor, and I don't want to sound like I'm promoting it, but I'm pretty excited about it, and it's hard to keep that in.
Well, no, it shines through in your posts, and then I just wanted to ask, like, yeah, riding it. And that's a weird comparison to a Honda. I mean, because they're super stable, predictable. Like, they don't do much to scare you. They have everything that you need, like lots of power right there when you want it. But I just always find it's like super linear and friendly. So it's like confidence inspiring. So to see another machine.
I don't know what it is about it, but it's something to do with the chassis. Like, the RX250 is my favorite four-stroke to ride. Like, if I had a cross-country race bike, I would choose that.
Okay.
And the big part of it is because those RX250s, they just handle so well. The chassis I just love the feel of it. And this GPX bike has that same feeling. And it's been like, oh my gosh, like this is awesome.
That's so sweet. Like, yeah, when you say, like, you know, the bike doesn't know you're there. Like that's all, like, I don't know. I could see how that's a thing. Like, my bike knows I'm there. I'm a big fat guy, like 200 pounds. So
it's definitely like being such a light rider means you have to be absolutely on point with your body weight and positioning at certain times.
Yeah.
And everything has to be really exaggerated. So if I'm going to compress my suspension for traction, I have to use my whole body and, you know, really push down, whereas 200-pound rider is just going to lightly push down and they're going to get excellent traction.
Yeah.
So, it's like, everything's doable. It's just there's not as much room for error, and you really have to have a good feel for when and how far to get back and, like, all that sort of stuff. And in the extreme terrain.
Yeah, I understand what we're talking about. I guess listeners, they would too, because everybody's sort of like in this bracket, right? Even if they're starting out, they know what's going on. Like, they've probably had a race or two under their belt. And then, so for getting into the little advice for, I guess, the new rider, the new female rider, because I can't give advice in this department because I'm not into those things. What would you suggest for like a first bike and where to start out?
Okay, so the first bike is going to kind of depend on your size, but my recommendation for a first bike is I always recommend, like, your classic tractor, like the TTRs, the CRF. My first bike was a TTR 125, and I jumped up to a KX 250S way too early and scared myself and and had like a really steep learning curve. And I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had mastered the basics on a smaller, more linear, smooth bike.
Okay.
In the beginning, and then moved up. So I always recommend that to anyone starting out, not just women, but I know women can. I'm not stereotyping.
No.
Well, maybe I am, but women can be a little more timid in the beginning with dirt biking. I know I was a little bit timid. My whole body would shake when I revved my KX250F because I was so scared of that bike.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I think that was detrimental to my growth. So a 230 or a 125 four stroke is a really great bike to learn on. And then when you're ready, you can start moving up.
Okay, that's good advice. But I never even imagined being afraid of the bike. Like,
really?
Yeah, I don't know why that's like a first time thought. Like I understand the first day when you get on a motorcycle, everybody's afraid. They all imagine they're going to grab a handful of throttle, wheelie, and whatever. And usually that fear keeps the front wheel down for the entire day. And then the trust is built and what have you. But I never imagined jumping up a bike size and like just having the throttle, like the engine and all that, those things just be scary. Like that's a first thought. First time I ever had that thought. And it's kind of like, oh, wow. I don't know how to describe
it. Yeah, that's wild. It's super cool. Like, that's interesting to hear because I was the opposite. Like, super, super scared of the machine. And just, like, the thought of falling was not only for my own safety, but the thought of breaking something on the bike. Like, all of that just terrified me. And I think a lot of women have that mindset going into it. And the key is having someone with you. It's like, oh gosh, no, that's no big deal. Like, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
But I didn't have that guidance. And to me, it was the absolute end of the world if something on my bike were to get broken. Like, I didn't even know you could replace parts. I thought you needed a new bike if you broke a shifter.
Oh my God.
Like, I was that green. Like, it was wild. But I think there are other people that are like that. So,
yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's where my mind's opening up to. It's just the fact that that is a demographic of people that exists, and I never even thought of them before before now. Like, so
yeah.
If you were that green, forgive the question, like why did you even start? Like, what was your draw to motorcycles then? If you were afraid that breaking a lever meant you had to spend another $6,000 to $10,000, like why would you even throw like over? It's an expensive shifter.
Yeah. No, so I was super outdoorsy. I always have been, and I wanted some way to explore the mountains. And so I never envisioned myself riding up rock faces and riding hard enduro. I didn't even know that existed. But I wanted a way to put around in the mountains on Forest Service roads and just go places. And so that's how it started. And I figured, you know, you just keep the rubber side down and you put around on the roads and that's what it is. But then I've also got this side of me where it's like, once I start something and get into it, it's like you start feeling progress and you start realizing you can do things. It just snowballs from there. And I thankfully did meet some people in the sport, specifically a man named Hippie.
Yeah.
And he opened my eyes to like single track. And I mean, I had been riding single track when I met him, but he took me in over my head and showed me like, it's all right. Like I'd be crying on the side of the trail because I was so worn out, and he would just sit there and, you know, he'd be there for me, but he would be like, don't be a sissy. Like,
yeah.
It was super cool.
It's a proper riding friend. Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
You need like both things on the trail. When you're starting out, you need someone to be like your bestie and your worstie at the same time, like someone who's comforting you and someone you can't let down at the same time. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's just a hill. Let's just do this hill. And you're like, but it's a giant hill and I've never done a hill. It's okay. Watch. And then they wait for you at the top and you just got to figure it out, and they'll ride down and give you some pointers and then wait for you at the top or stay at the bottom. Like, yeah. So, And yeah. Was Hippie like, is that your, that was like your first and only riding group, or like, did you progress through other groups? How did that like, cause that's a big deal. I think that's how progression happens. Like as you, I don't want to say outgrow a group, but like availability to each other sort of changes and things. So you have to ride with somebody else and then your network grows. And with that, your opportunities for growth happen. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah. I mean, I've met lots of friends along the way who are better riders than me and who have opened my eyes to certain things, made me more well-rounded. But like, I don't feel like I ever outgrew my Hippie, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Yes, I'm faster than him now. And he, I always bug him about that, but yeah, like different groups of people, I guess, who are willing to do different things. Like I won't ask certain people to go ride the hard enduro Boulder Canyon down here in Arizona with me. Right. Like
yeah.
There's certain people you know, are down for a supper fest, and other people who just want to be there on a funner, more chill day. But yeah, there's definitely different people for different types of riding. But for the most part, I hang on to my people who are in it for, you know, the gnar, for no matter what we're doing, they're in it, you know?
Yeah, I get that. That's, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's like that, actually. Okay, well, I'm going to pause this here. Oh, before I go any further, is there anybody you want to thank, like, you know, the podium speech thing, all your supporters or sponsors or that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I just want to thank the people that follow me and support what I'm doing. It, the people that are supportive mean the world to me, and they're the reason why I continue to make these videos and honestly why I've made such a crazy lifestyle change to do this for a living. I really love sharing this stuff with the people. So big thanks to them. And I mean, yeah, those people are what keeps it going.
That's awesome. Oh, okay, I'm going to sign this off right now. Awesome. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. I want to thank my guests for taking the time to sit down and chat with me. A special thank you to you, my supporters. Without you, this would not be possible. If you enjoyed the show, give it a 5-star rating. And if you haven't already, be sure to like, subscribe, and share. If this is your first time listening, I encourage you to take the 3-episode challenge. Once again, thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to find out what's coming up next time.